Once again this morning, as we prepare to be open to God's Word, there are teaching notes to go along with the message, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we share in this message from the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel. One of my favorite preachers is actually a woman by the name of Barbara Brown Taylor, who has written several books on preaching. And one of the things that she says in giving instructions to pastors is that when you're studying a passage of Scripture, you should run your hand across the Bible text and see what's rough, what sticks out, what verse gives you a splinter, what stings. What would you rather just ignore? And when you land on that, that's what God wants you to talk about. Don't take the easy way out, she says. Take out the tweezers and the magnifying glass and dig right in. Well, I was thinking about those words as I was preparing this message for this morning. Here we are between the series that I did on the Epistle of James and the series that we begin next week on a disciple's path. And I realized that in my first 3 months here, all of my preaching was from the epistles. And so I thought it would be well that maybe we'd focus on a gospel text today. And I looked at the common lectionary and ouch. Our scripture for this morning is really in two parts. In the first, Jesus is addressing a very thorny issue, the issue of marriage and divorce. And in the second is this beloved passage about welcoming the children, the one that's depicted there on our stained glass window. And back in August, when I was doing my preaching plan, I decided I was just going to skip that whole first part and go right to the nice words about children. I mean, it's nice, it's safe. It's a good word for a new preacher on World Communion Sunday. I thought I would skip the thorny part because divorce is a tough subject. And we live in a time of high divorce rates. And there are people in our churches who have experienced divorce. And every one of us loves someone who has been through that painful experience. And then I recognized too, as I read this, that we have a lot of single people in the church. And some of you have never been married and others have been widowed. And it just made me wonder whether this instruction that Jesus gives in this passage is really relevant for us this morning, for all of us here. And then this past week, as I was focusing in on this scripture, I really felt that God was calling me to explore the whole passage. And as we go through these verses together, I hope you'll discover what I did. And that is that there's a powerful message for this World Communion Sunday. Jesus addresses marriage and divorce in these verses, and we want to take what he says to heart. But in doing so, he's also directing our attention to a much larger message. And he wants us to see that there is no one that is beyond the reach of God's grace, that every soul is welcome in the kingdom of God, even those who have known the heartbreak of divorce, even those whose sin has caused great harm, even, as we will see, little children. You know, in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open communion table. I borrowed the title of my sermon this morning from a book by Mark W. Stamm. Dr. Stamm is a third-generation preacher from our Susquehanna Conference, and he now teaches worship at one of our seminaries. A few years ago, he wrote this book about Holy Communion, and in it he says, John Wesley insisted that all Christians are the guests of Jesus, that none of us deserve a place at the gospel feast. As guests at that feast, we believe that we speak for Jesus by inviting all people to join us. Now, this gospel lesson raises the question of who might not be welcome at the Lord's table. Look at verse 2. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said that Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Now, this is not the first time that the religious leaders are testing Jesus in Mark's gospel. And as large crowds would follow him, they were forever trying to trip him up. They were like political strategists preparing a candidate for a debate. What question could we ask the front runner to embarrass him? What might be her Achilles heel that we could grab and really take her down? So we can picture the Pharisees here, huddled in a corner somewhere, landing on that question, on this thorny issue, hoping that Jesus would be brought down by it. "Is it lawful," they ask, "for a man to divorce his wife?" They're testing Jesus with a question about the grounds for divorce. And Jesus immediately points them to something they already know by heart, the law of Moses in Deuteronomy, where it says that Moses allowed a man to divorce his wife. But then he continues. And instead of stumbling, he takes control of the conversation. And he turns the focus away from the grounds for divorce and turns it toward the grounds for marriage. "Moses wrote that," he said, "because you couldn't make the grade. But from the beginning, God made them male and female," he said. And then he quotes that passage from Genesis about a man leaving his father and mother and being joined to his wife and the two becoming one. Now, if you've ever attended a wedding, you've likely heard those words, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." And we all mean it at the marriage ceremony. What God has done, what blessing has occurred at the wedding, we don't want anything to separate that couple. Not death or hardship, not anything. Let nothing separate. That's the holy ideal of marriage that Jesus puts in front of us. And that is our promise and our prayer and our hope when a couple is married. Jesus, in whom the kingdom of God has come near, as Mark tells us, envisions the world as God created it to be, where men and women would enjoy perfect union in marriage that would last a lifetime. And yet we all know, living in the real world as we do, that not all marriages work. That some are beset by abuse that is so bad that we would not believe it's God's will for someone to stay in that situation. And others end with the couple being congenial, but realizing that their marriage just didn't work. And they've sought with all their might to make it work, but it hasn't. Whatever reason, they can't quite pull it off. And so in this fallen world, Jesus recognizes that divorce is sometimes a painful reality. It's a reality in the time of Moses. It's a reality in the time of Jesus. And it's a reality in our time. And one of the things we see in Jesus' response to the Pharisees' question is that Jesus has compassion for those who have known the heartache of divorce. Jesus would not counsel women or men in abusive relationships to stay in them. And at the same time, he would also recognize how families and children have so often been torn apart because of marriages that ended too easily, with no commitment to do the work that could have perhaps saved them. And certainly, Jesus would look at this world in which we live, in the culture that we live in, and he would not condone those attitudes that too easily dispose of marriage. So Jesus is calling us, as husbands and wives, to live up to the vision that God has for marriage. And he's reminding us that this is only possible when the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of our relationship. Now, Jesus doesn't say to the Pharisees that everyone should be married. Jesus himself was not married and lived his life as a single person. But what Jesus teaches us here is relevant not just for marriage relationship, but for every relationship. We want Jesus at the center of every relationship within our families and among our friends here at the church. For we know when he is at the center, he makes possible that which would be otherwise not possible. Now, the first part of this lesson may conjure up some images of the television show Divorce Court for us. But that would not have been what would have come to mind for people in Jesus' day. There were no divorce courts back then. All a man had to do back then was write on a piece of paper that he wanted to divorce his wife and give that piece of paper to her or perhaps to a priest, and it was done. In Jesus' day, because of the status of women, a man could divorce his wife on a whim and leave her helpless. And so the more accurate image might be one of Donald Trump on his former television show, The Apprentice, pointing at that week's loser and announcing, "You're fired. You're fired." Meaning you're disposable. You're disposed of. And so underlying Jesus' teaching about marriage is the sense of those who have been disposed of so carelessly and are now living on the edge. Jesus elevates women in this passage and says that they are equal partners with men in the marriage covenant. Divorce is a sin, Jesus would say. But at the Lord's table and here in Mark's gospel, we remember that all of us are sinners. That none of us are able to live up to the world as God imagined it. Now, it's important that as we look at this conversation, that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And we remember what takes place in Jerusalem. After his triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, Jesus tells us twice in Mark chapter 8 and again in Mark chapter 9, that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he'll foretell his suffering and death again later in chapter 10. And so every conversation in this part of Mark's gospel, including this conversation, takes place under the shadow of the cross. And we remember, just as we do when we come to the Lord's table, that though we have sinned, Jesus suffered and died and rose again to save sinners like us. The good news of this day is that no one is beyond the reach of God's love. Whatever is in your past, Jesus offers you forgiveness, a fresh start, a new beginning. At the end of this passage, Jesus continues to widen his embrace with these beloved verses about children. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, Mark says. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. Such as these weak little children, such as these least valuable and most vulnerable in the society, theirs, Jesus says, is the kingdom. And after Jesus told those married how to live together perfectly, he shows us all how to put love in action. And he reminds us that nobody is too small or too broken or too much of an outsider to be welcomed into the arms of Jesus. No one is beyond his reach. And so today, on this World Communion Sunday, we gather around the table. And we gather as women and men, as married, divorced, and single. We gather as the powerful and the powerless, as the young and the old. And we join as one to celebrate the amazing grace of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. As you come to the table, remember this, that the arms of Jesus are open wide to you. His embrace is open wide because his desire is to make all things new in your life. I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and freed, in awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for me, his life laid down for me. Come, come to Jesus. His arms are open wide.